When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. Now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Peace of God be with you. We're here studying the New Age movement. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we'd like to help you understand a little bit more about what's going on with this movement we hear so much about. One of the characteristics we've talked at length about in regards to the New Age movement is their belief in pantheism and monism. That is, the belief that everything is God and everything is one, and that we're all part of the one God. And how this has come to us, or into the New Age movement anyway, from Hinduism in some ways, but also this belief in pantheism has come from other sources. In particular, a source that concerns me a lot because of its widespread influence in the New Age is through trance-channeled spirits. Now, what do we mean by that? In the New Age movement, a number of people allow other spirits to take over their personality, that they themselves will go into a state of meditation. And while they're in a state of meditation, and I've seen this a number of times on videotapes, they will start to nod off like this, their head will go down, then they'll come up, and they're another person. And we're going to talk about some of these other spirits today and in the future, because trance-channeled spirits, which means that they're in a trance through some form of alternate state of consciousness, and that they are channeling another spirit, that their body becomes a vehicle for a spirit to work through them and speak through their mouths, or to write with their hands. Because sometimes the spirits will speak through them, and they will come up with this voice that is not their own, or they talk with an English accent, even though they're from Atlantis, and they'll go on with these other acts, or they'll use their hands to write. And these spirits that are being channeled while the different people are in trances also believe in pantheism. And so what you find very often in the literature of the New Age movement is that they say, aha, the Hindus believe in pantheism. The thinkers from various philosophies believe in it. And spirits who take over other people's lives also believe in it. Now, we don't know for sure that these are real spirits. A lot of times, I think that these are just their own personalities. It might also be that there are spirits involved in this, and we'll have to take a look at various circumstances to check that out. But for now, just to be aware that the literature of trance channeling is strongly in favor of belief in pantheism. And while we're aware of that, we should also be aware, before we even start looking at that literature, about a warning that we should start off with. Isaiah, in chapter 8, verse 19, warns against those people who inquire of mediums and fortune tellers who chirp and mutter, and people who inquire of their gods and apply to the dead on behalf of the living. That people who go and talk to these other spirits should not be trusted. Instead, Isaiah says, we should look to him as a prophet and to the signs that the Lord tells him to give. And we should keep that in mind, that none of these spirits are to be trusted by us. Also, we see in Deuteronomy 18 that we are completely forbidden to go to any of these spirits. And in Leviticus 19, we're forbidden to go to any spirits for this kind of information. And we should immediately be distrustful of spirits that take over other people's minds and wills and mouths and hands and teach us a gospel other than the one that Jesus Christ has given to us. With that introductory sense of warning, let's take a look at it and see what they say. One of the earliest of the trance channelers to begin writing is Edgar Cayce. Now, Edgar Cayce was born in the 1870s, about 1875, 1876, and he died in 1945. He came from a fundamentalist Christian family and remained a fundamentalist Christian throughout his life, an evangelical Christian we probably would call today. And this is according to Jess Stern in his book, Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet, as well as other books about Cayce. And he began by having an experience when he was 7 or 8. He saw a vision of a figure in white who offered to answer any request that he had. And the next night, after having real trouble studying, he heard a voice repeat, "Sleep, and we may help you." After a few minutes, he woke, knowing his whole lesson. So he was able to do his homework by a spirit that spoke and said, "We may help you." And this is Edgar Cayce's own story of how universal consciousness came to him. Now, he began to have some sense of a universal consciousness working inside of him. And then the spirit that would come over him, he would lay down on a couch and he would go into a trance, loosen his tie and his belt and take off his shoes and go off into the trance. And then he would wake up and he would have this sense of another spirit speaking in him. And what did the spirit say? Ask a question in a book, as a matter of fact, of his writings called Edgar Cayce's Story of Jesus. We see, what is the soul? Edgar Cayce asks. Answer, it is the God force in the weakest of our brethren and the lowest of our fellow men. So the soul is itself the God force, according to the spirit speaking through Cayce. Or he goes on to say, if we would make ourselves one with God, even as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, here we run into a real problem, don't we? First of all, we are supposed to make ourselves one with God, according to Cayce. And then the model for that is as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. Do you see the impossibility of that? If the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are truly the one God, then we can never attain to that unity because you and I are limited creatures. We are not infinite. We are not without limit. And we are not from all eternity. So we can't be one the way the Father, Son, and Spirit are one. Secondly, you and I can't make ourselves one with God. It's rather God who gives us His Holy Spirit. And in the Spirit that He gives us as a free gift, the grace won by Jesus Christ on the cross, that we become united with Christ, and then in Christ become united with the Father. But that's by gift, not by our own effort. And Edgar Cayce's spirit led him astray. We're going to come back in a moment to see more about what Cayce and his followers have said about pantheism and what the trans-channeled spirits have to tell us. So please stay tuned. Talking about Edgar Cayce as someone who channels spiritual information, and that what he channels is pantheistic, that is, that everything is God. Now, we also see one more quote that I'd like to give from him. It's something that starts off with scripture from the Gospel of St. John. Edgar Cayce says in his book, Edgar Cayce's Story of Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, Now, actually, that's a little reverse of Scripture. Scripture says the Word was with God and the Word was God. But it's still close to what Scripture says. But then Edgar Cayce adds something when he's in this trance. He says, he moved. Hence, as he moved, souls, portions of himself, came into being. So our souls came into being when the Word moved. Now see, he's added that to Scripture. He started off with something that we see in the Gospel, but added something that we don't see. That the Scripture never speaks about God moving in order to create souls. That's not what happened. How does God do it? Let's take a look again at the Scriptures. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we see that God created the world. First of all, by sending the Spirit over the wasteland, the abyss, that a mighty wind of the Spirit of God moved over the waters of chaos. And that there's a movement of God's Spirit over waters of chaos to begin the creation process. But that's not how God actually created, is it? How does it begin? God said, let there be light. God said, let there be sky, a firmament. God said, let there be lights in the sky. God said, let the water teem with abundance of living creatures. And God said, let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creatures. And then finally, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground. God didn't move, I moved, all of a sudden souls are sparking out of me. But rather, what we see is that in the Scriptures, God said, let there be man. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, created man in the image and likeness of God. And that's what it says in chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis. God created man in his image. In the divine image he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, saying, be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. Now, this is what God has given us. Psalm 8 repeats the same ideas. What is man that you've created him? The son of man that you consider him? But that's what God has done. He creates us and considers us. Well, it's not because he moved, but just because he wanted us to be and chose. It's just his decision, not any kind of movement on his part. So we have problems right away with that. And then again, it led to Edgar Cayce thinking of pantheism, that we're all parts of God, instead of creatures made by God, but still distinct from him. Precisely distinct from God, because God is uncreated. Nobody made God. But we are made, and therefore radically different from God. Now, somebody who's a disciple of Edgar Cayce and did a lot of trance channeling is Ruth Montgomery. Ruth Montgomery was a very famous reporter in Washington and worked there knowing all the presidents from Roosevelt to Johnson and would interview them and such. But after she started to go to a few spiritistic churches and spiritistic meetings and campgrounds, she began to learn how to meditate. And when she meditated and went into a trance, using the morning, as taught to her by her teacher, Arthur Ford, that she would then start to write automatically. At first she drew a picture of a lily, and then she began to write with her hand for a spirit named Lily, and a group of other spirits that included her own dead father, and eventually Arthur Ford after he died. Now, what does Lily and the group, as they often say, have to say in the different books by Ruth Montgomery? Well, it says that the spirits were created in the likeness of God, beginning as tiny sparks that took the form of miniature gods. So that's what the spirits say to her, that we're all miniature gods. Another thing, she says, is that the force that we call God was always. For without God there is no thing, no motion, not even a nothingness. This force was. God is. Now, there's some of that we can agree with. Yes, God existed, and from all time, without him nothing was made, nothing moves, nothing exists. However, we also have to see that we are not God, and that the souls that God creates are not part of God, but that we're totally distinct. That she also, the spirits also say through her, God created man and woman as separate parts of the whole soul. In other words, we are all part of this one monistic soul. And that's not the case. Each one of us is a unique person. God made us as unique, and he will deal with us individually as unique. That's why repeatedly in Scripture, we see that he has our names written down in the Book of Life. Now, if Ruth Montgomery's ideas sound a lot like Casey's, it's because she studied in Virginia Beach at the school that Casey had started. It's a session called ARE, for Awareness and Research, Association for Research and Enlightenment is what it's called, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And his son, Hugh Lynn Casey, taught her a lot, let her read a lot of Casey's literature, and a lot of Casey's ideas very specifically came into Ruth Montgomery's thought. And we'll see that repeatedly as we take a look at creation and other notions that the New Agers teach, especially Ruth Montgomery. Now, another spirit who also deals with the belief in reincarnation is Seth. Seth is a spirit that is channeled through Jane Roberts. And Jane Roberts' Seth takes over her, started off when she was playing with Ouija board, as I recall from reading her book. And this other spirit started to speak through her, and instead of writing, actually talks and has a different voice from hers, you know, and very masculine voice and a strong voice. And this spirit also believes that everything is God, and God is part of everything. We're going to come back in just a moment to take a look at what Seth actually teaches about the different forms of pantheism. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We started to talk about Seth, a spirit who is channeled through Jane Roberts. And Seth has a number of things to say about God. Interestingly enough, as with many of these other books written by different spirits, the ideas about God don't come at the beginning. They usually come toward the latter part of the book. I think, and again, this is my own interpretation of it, is that these books usually start off as saying, this can't be, no spirit could be speaking through me. Then they start to move to the idea, well, do you think it could be so? And then they get some more knowledge about the spirit and they say, I think it's so. And then they start to say, I'm sure it's another spirit. And then at that point, after they've sort of worked it to a conversion experience, then they start to say that this is something also about God, and they teach about God. Now, what does Seth say? He says, he, that is referring to God, is not one individual, but an energy gestalt. Now, gestalt is a German word meaning whole. So God is not a person. It's not, has no personality. God is just an energy gestalt. Like in Star Wars, it is the Force. Okay? And as a matter of fact, the Star Wars has been called by a number of people a great catechism of the New Age movement. In a sense, it teaches people to have an impersonal idea of God. This absolute, ever-expanding, instantaneous, psychic gestalt. See, now it's not just an energy gestalt, but a psychic gestalt, which you may call God if you prefer, is so secure in its existence that it can constantly break itself down and rebuild itself. So Seth's idea of God is that God can break himself down and rebuild himself instantaneously. It is indeed aware of each sparrow that falls because it is each sparrow that falls. So it quotes again from the Bible and takes an idea that Jesus had in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is trying to tell us, don't worry about anything. Your Heavenly Father knows every sparrow that falls. And He loves you more than that. And of course, if He takes care of the birds of the field and the birds of the air, then He'll take even better care of you. So don't worry. That was Jesus' point. Here the point is, the sparrow that falls is God. Well, that's not what Jesus was trying to say at all. And that's not what Christ believed. It has nothing to do with what the Lord Jesus taught about the Father. Also, something interesting about Seth, it says here, from again, quoting from Jane Roberts, the Seth material. Seth uses the word God sparingly, usually when speaking to students who are used to thinking in theological terms. As a rule, he speaks of all that is, or primary energy gestalts. Seth doesn't like the word God. Seth prefers to speak about all that is, or primary energy gestalts, because God, for Seth, is impersonal. Now, let's see where he talks about it in terms of God being among others. It says here, again in the Seth material, that all that is, and remember that's Seth's word for God, knows no other. That is, knows no other God. This does not mean that there may not be more to know. It does not know whether or not other psychic gestalts like it may exist. So it could be that there are other gods just like God, who are psychic gestalts. It is not aware of them if they do exist. It is constantly searching for them, basically. So it's constantly searching. God is always looking for more. It knows that something else existed before its own primary dilemma when it could not express itself. See, Seth's idea of God, as it's spoken through Jane Roberts, is that God had a basic dilemma and nearly became crazy. As a matter of fact, he had an agonized search for expression that we may be represented as the birth throes of all that is as we know it. That his notion of God is that God had to come to some expression and nearly went insane in seeking this. Now, that's not at all what we see in Scripture. God didn't drive himself crazy trying to create the world. There's no sense of disharmony or disorganization or agony. Think again of what we had read earlier today about in the book of Genesis, God simply said, let there be light. Let there be the firmament. Let there be the animals. Let life teem. Let us create man in our image and likeness. Whatever God says happens. And this is something that God loves to do. And it's peaceful. It's a harmonious creation. And God is not in any sort of agony over this. And that, no, we are not part of this God. But that's not the way Seth. Nor is there any other God. Now, Seth says that maybe there could be. But what do we see in Scripture? Let's take a look at Isaiah, the prophet. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, it says, thus says Yahweh, Israel's King and Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. You see how directly that is contradicted by Seth, who says that there was something before all that is. There was something before Seth's idea of God. But instead, our God says, I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. Who is like me? Let him stand up and speak. Make it evident and confront me with it. In other words, if you're like me, show me the evidence that you could create like I created. Well, there's nobody who can, and Seth can't produce that evidence. We also see that Jesus is truly God because he says, I am the first and I am the last in the book of Revelation. And he is the Word of God through whom everything came into being and created all things. Not because there was somebody else, because he and the Father and the Spirit are absolutely one and they created as one God working together. Now, we have to say to Seth and the other spirits that there is no such thing as pantheism. And that instead of everything being one God, there is only one who is God, uncreated before everything else existed. Instead, we have a creation. We have things that God has made and loves. Every time God made something, he said, that's good. I love it. It's wonderful. But he didn't say, it's me. Your soul is me. God didn't say that. As a matter of fact, what the New Age movement would end up doing with its belief in pantheism is have us all go back into being this chaos. We'll all sort of melt into this one pot. And it sort of be like if you took all the Crayolas that you had and put it into one big pot and melted them down, and they just become one color, which will actually be just gray, instead of the variety of color and the variety of us. That's what God really wants. And this is what is part of the good news that we can bring to those who are into the New Age movement. That instead of all of us being God and everything being God, let God be God. Let the Lord be Lord. Let Him be uncreated and Redeemer, and we be creatures who need Him and need His love. And we can also be uniquely ourselves. We won't melt into nothingness. We won't become part of a mass pottage or a great big tapioca pudding in the sky, like C.S. Lewis talked about. But rather, we'll become one with Jesus Christ and yet remain who we are because Christ loves us. God bless you.